We needed that this morning. We needed that. Lord, we thank you so much for the joy that you put within us. We love when your spirit breaks forth. You know what we need, God. You don't condemn us. Maybe we're a little tired today, God. Maybe we feel like the weather, up and down, rainy, sunny, God, I don't know. But I love that your spirit just dwells with us, Lord, as the bride of Christ according to knowledge. Jesus, just like you told us husbands on this earth to dwell with our wives according to knowledge, you do that with us. And even though after the set, Lord, maybe the set time of worship has come to a close, but then your spirit breaks forth and you show us that there's a little bit something more to sing. And that is that we shout out to you, Lord, with a voice of triumph, because, Lord, you have given us the victory. And we are thankful this morning, God, that we don't fight for victory, but that we fight from victory. And Lord, we are grateful this morning that you've defeated the grave, that you've defeated hell and Satan for us, that you are our victor, that you are the champion of our salvation. You're our captain, Lord. We herald you. We salute you this morning. We give you thanks and praise and adoration. We join in with the birds of the field, the lilies of the valley, God, and we sing to you. We sing with the stones that are behind us, God. We know that creation groans. And Lord, awaits for their day of redemption. And we join in our singing this morning to our Creator King, to our Redeemer, to our Kinsman Redeemer. We join in this morning. We sing to the one who our soul loves. Because, Lord, you first loved us. How good it is to be in your presence, Lord, where there is life and joy forevermore. Thank you for the life that you've given to us, Lord, the abundant life that can't be found elsewhere, but only in you. Continue to teach us, Lord, so that we can worship you better. Continue to teach us, Lord, so that we have motivation to want to live for you stronger. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. We do sing that song we already sang, God, where we want to be faithful, standing with you to the end. We're singing that as though we're telling it to ourselves. That's our goal. We'll remind ourselves, we know it isn't in us, so we're not seeking to draw strength from within to stay faithful. We're just sort of asking you in a prayer song, Lord, help us to stand faithful with you to the end. But we know that the stirring up of it has to come from you. We know that the will to do of your good pleasure has to come from you. And so, Lord, continue to stir it up within us. Set a fire in our hearts. Let personal revivals be taking place on the lawn and in the sanctuary and the homes of those who are streaming the service. We bless the Lord. Amen, church. We bless the Lord. God bless you guys. Go ahead and take a minute to greet each other. Thank you. I'm so thankful, Richard Timothy, that you were in the spirit this morning. And that you were feeling that. At first I thought I sounded like an angel, but I didn't realize it was you singing in the background the same song. I thought it was me for a minute. I thought the Lord gave me a new voice. Maybe that's what my heavenly voice sounds like. I don't know. I'll take it though. I'm so thankful for our worship team, all the ladies and the men who lead us in song. I'm so thankful for the sound team, the tech team. I don't know if you guys understand. And you don't really need, no one really wants you to. But there's so much that goes into all that happens in front of you. So thank you to you guys that were here before the crack of dawn, setting up the screen out there. For those of you who are out on the lawn enjoying the service being streamed, covering our speakers, you know, they changed the weather. My title this morning is Those Things Which Cannot Be Shaken. Because everything on this side of eternity is shaken, isn't it? I mean, last night, you know, we're watching the radar. We're watching the forecast, and it changes so quickly, and it changed overnight, and last night it didn't look so good. This morning it looked all right, and so we went for it, and then a downpour. I don't know where you all live, but even if you live in Spencerport, I mean, it's spotty. It just depends on where you are in Spencerport, and, you know, right around 7:30, we got a strong downpour here at the church, and the guys had to cover our speakers with garbage bags, and watch the scrim. I mean, there's so much that goes into it, so thank you to our grounds crew. I've always wanted to say that, like, I'm a Yankees owner. We got the grounds crew that comes in and rolls out the tarp. Thank you to Pastor Larry and the guys outside with him, to Steve and Jared, and the guys who set up all the sound stuff, all of our ushers, those who are greeting the food trucks when they come in, our security team, thank you to the cameramen. You guys are outstanding. You have to stand for my whole preaching. That's amazing. You guys are stellar. God's got some rewards for you. Thank you for the worship team, because on these dreary days, you do sort of feel like, I don't know, just laying on the couch maybe with a blanket and watching a Hallmark movie or something. But these guys come here and they prep and they lead us into worship, and it sets our souls ablaze. Amen? And so let's continue that as we move through God's word. Last night, you can open your Bible to Hebrews 12. We're going to finish the chapter, God willing, this morning, which is wild. We'll be in chapter 13 if the Lord tarries next week. Last night, I'm sitting with my youngest, Harper, and I'm sitting on my chair, where I study, and I'm just losing my mind at this point, just anguishing over the scriptures. So I say, the Lord, he speaks through the mouth of babes. So I say to my youngest, Harper, she's laying on the ground next to me, I say, hey, can I read to you the verses that I'm reading to the church? It's only four verses. Can I read them to you, and you tell me what you think? So y'all are going to get what a six-year-old interprets the word for this morning. So I read through the scriptures, and at the end, I got my laptop on my lap, but she can't see my Bible. I'm reading from my Bible. She thought I was reading from my notes. So at the end of that, she looks at me, and she says, Daddy, you need to delete that. She thought, like, I wrote. And I think some of you are going to feel that way, too, as we read through these challenging scriptures. For her, it was that they were lengthy. For you, I think it's going to be, if your heart isn't ready or prepared, it might be that they're challenging. And we want to ask the Lord just to break through in our hearts and bring personal revival, that we don't want to delete these things, but that rather they would rise from the pages and penetrate the depths of our hearts and transform us. Y'all didn't come to church for information, amen? You came for transformation. If you wanted information, you can go read a commentary or listen to a teacher way greater than I, but rather this is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be prophetic in our lives. Not necessarily foretelling, but forthtelling for what we need as the local body of Christ to receive from him this Sunday morning. The first Sunday of August, 2020. We're in the eighth month of the year already. Where did it go? Wild, isn't it? What did we even stay up late for on New Year's Eve, on 2019? See that you refuse not. Let's read the text in totality, and then we'll go right through it again. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth, but now as he is promising, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, verse 27, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things which are made, and those things which cannot be shaken. Those things which cannot be shaken. Doesn't it feel good? There's something that can't be shaken. I don't do this a lot, but I think I'm going to do it right now. Can you say it with me? There are those things which cannot be shaken. Let's say it again. There are those things which cannot be shaken. That's good news. Everything around us is being rattled right now. There's something the holy word of God says for you and I that are in Christ to look forward to that cannot be shaken. Glory, hallelujah, amen. He goes like this. There are those things which cannot be shaken, which remain. Wherefore, verse 28, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. That feels good too. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. It's what he is. He is right now in the present. He is a consuming fire. I love what Spurgeon says of that verse. I have it written right in my Bible below verse 29. He says this, and I quote, in love, he is severely holy and sternly just, close quote. Isn't that good? I like what Spurgeon, the prince of preaching, says of this verse. I'm going to say it again in case you want to write it down in your Bible. In love, he is, that is God, he is severely holy and sternly just. God, please teach us again through your word now, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. The writer is encouraging us to press onward, to press inward, to continue to follow after Jesus despite everything else. And he closes this section before he turns to the horizontal relationships that we enjoy on earth in chapter 13, which is this shot in the arm. Hey, remember that our God, even though he speaks to us from a bloody mountain, our God, even though he is full of grace and mercy, our God, even though he is love personified, our God is a consuming fire. And you can let the Holy Spirit minister that to you throughout this message as you would. For me, the theme of his ministering to me from that very verse, as I've studied the rest of these verses we'll look at this morning, is just personal revival. I want the Lord to do a revival in the United States of America. I want the Lord to do a revival in our world. I hope this global pandemic won't go wasted. And the only way that I'll deem it as not being wasted in my own limited knowledge and understanding of things is if there is a breaking forth of the Spirit of God and just this radical turning to Christ globally, right? Like that, because the whole world's been touched by this snow day. Right? We've been on a global snow day, haven't we? It's been a really bizarre year. And I want to see God do something unbelievable here for his kingdom before he calls the church home. Amen? But I can't control that. I can't even control the local body that I pastor. I can't even figure out if it's going to rain or not. What control do I have? I mean, both times I went for it in faith, Wednesday and Sunday, it rains. I don't think I got the gift of faith. You know, I don't know. But here's what I can control just a little bit. How much of my own life I'm surrendering to him. How much of my own life I'm putting into his arms and his care and letting his holy fire just consume and burn away what shouldn't be. To continue to allow him to free me of weights and hindrances and sins that so easily beset me. There are sins in my life, I can't even believe they're there still sometimes. And they rear their ugly head daily. And I'm just looking for the Lord to continually just free me from those things as the chapter started so I can run the race to win. Amen? And so the writer here is closing this chapter dynamically saying, our God, he is a consuming fire. And he can bring forth revival in your own life, even if your neighbor's not interested. Even if this whole message, they keep looking at their watch, keep checking their phone, playing a video game, scrolling on Instagram, because everybody can do whatever they want to do, even if they're in church. Those of you on the lawn, even if the person next to you is just chomping away, what do we got out there today, waffles? Eating their waffles and drinking their coffee, and that's what they came to church for. God doesn't need that person to be all in order for you to be all in. There could be a personal revival that's had in your life. If it hasn't already begun, it can start today should you just get consumed by the all-consuming fire of God and his glory and his majesty. That's what I believe. And if you understand the majesty and the glory and the beauty and the splendor of the Lord, well, then you'll lend your ear to him, as the writer says here, going backwards now in verse 25. He says this, see, and that is a present imperative. I know I give you guys language a lot, but it helps you understand the oomph here behind what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. It's a present imperative, so it's literally supposed to be read in this way. You must continually see. There's a lot of things that are vying for your eye gate attention, aren't there? There's a lot of things that want you to see it, see them, see whatever out there. But the Holy Spirit saying to the bride of Christ at first service this morning at Calvary Chapel, even if it's remotely, even if it's in your living room or wherever you are streaming this service, out on the lawn or in the sanctuary, he's saying to you, I'm asking you to turn your head and set your eyes on my word. I'm asking you to see and to continually see that you refuse not him that speaketh. God, who at sundry times and in various places spoke to us through the prophets, spoke to us through the law, spoke to us through other means. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. That's the beginning of Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. That is God's final voice, if you would. His final voice of pleading with humanity. Listen, never to be improved upon. The plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. He speaks to us in Son. Jesus is the prophet, if you would, the voice box of God to this age. He's speaking to us right now. And the writer is saying this, you must continually lend your ear to his voice. Don't refuse his voice. Isn't that, when you listen to what I'm saying to you right now, isn't that remarkable that us little specks on this earth even have the opportunity and option to refuse his voice? This is the one who speaks things into motion. This is the one who says, let there be light, and there's no light bearer, and there's light. This is the one who is the very word of God. The control of just the voice of God, the voice box of Jesus is magnificent. We can't even wrap our minds a little bit around it. And yet, us little specks on this planet that he's created and consists in his hands, how's the whole world in motion and being held together? By the hand of Jesus. Not dark matter. The hand of Jesus. He spoke it and he's keeping it in motion. And yet the writer is saying this to us. Make sure that you don't start to refuse his voice that speaks to you specks on planet Earth. See to it. Lot to see, lot to hear. Lot to see, lot to hear. Lot of noise being made out there. Lot of audible noise. Lot of opinions out there. Coming from the culture, coming from the media, coming from journalists, coming from your the employees that you work with, your neighbors. Lot of opinions out there. Everybody's got something to say about what's going on. Everybody does. Everybody is in their own mind sort of an expert about why they wear their mask, why they don't wear their mask, why this is an absolute joke, why this is not an absolute joke. Everybody's got something to say. It's the noisiest season of my lifetime. Those of you who are more seasoned than I am with years, maybe I don't know how you feel about it or what you think, but this is a really rattling, loud portion in human history. Really bizarre. Is it true? Those of you who are wiser and seasoned in years? Come on, this is as nice as I can be. This is first service. I haven't even had a full cup of coffee yet. You should see me at second. I'm like bouncing off the wall like a ping pong ball. Is it true? A lot of noise out there. A lot of opinions. A lot of networks. It's not just a time in human history where, you know, there are things that are vying for our attention with our eyes, but also our ears. Everybody's got something to say in the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. How amazed have you been where God has us in his word in this pandemic? This is crazy. In the middle of all that, God stoops to his children. You ever read like Leviticus, any of you? If you've gone here since I've been pastor, I've taken you through a major chunk of the Old Testament. We already studied that on Wednesday nights. You remember the dietary laws? The king, the creator, stoops into our kitchen and tells us, don't eat this and do eat that, because he's concerned that much with our own physical well-being. He stoops down into our lives and he wants to speak to us. It's a bloody hill that he speaks to us from, Calvary. It's in contradiction to Sinai. And Sinai is a place of fright. It's a place that causes trembling, where the people that were there said, please, no more. On the flip side, he doesn't speak to us from Sinai. He speaks to us from Zion. He speaks to us from grace. And we don't abuse it. We don't misunderstand it. He's still a consuming fire. That's the balance of all of this. But isn't it wild to you that this gracious God stoops and wants to speak to you on this Sunday morning? I have to tell you something. For some of you, it's going to be some things. None of you should leave here without anything, though. Everybody should go home with a doggy bag. If your heart is surrendered to Jesus, I don't care how good my preaching is or isn't, the word's going forth. It's being unleashed. There's no way anyone should leave on the grounds out there, their family room at home, or in this sanctuary without something from the Lord. He wants to speak to you. And he says this, please don't refuse me. You want to know what the word refuse means? Dismiss. The word, let me give it to you like this. The word refuse is when you just get up from the table and excuse yourself. The Lord says to specks on earth, the one who speaks creation into existence, he says, please, on August 2nd, 2020, please make sure that you continually see that you give me your ear gate so that I can speak to you. Please don't beg your pardon from my voice. Please don't think that you know everything and that there's nothing that you can't learn or receive from His Majesty. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, you know, that's Moses, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, that's Jesus, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he's promising, yet once more I shake. Listen, the word shake there in verse 26 is a shaking of to and shaking of fro. A shaking of to and a shaking of fro. Listen, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. The earth, listen, this earth, is not the rock beneath our feet that it seems to be or that it has seemed to be up till recently. It's not a rock beneath our feet that it has seemed to be, at least up to recently. There's a shaking that's coming. There's a shaking that has already happened, and there is a shaking that is coming, he says. And it's not just of earth, but also of heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth that the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There's a shaking that's coming. And I think that in some senses, the shaking has begun. Now I understand the text in its context, and I'll teach it to you in just a moment. And I'll do it briefly. I'll just whet your appetite so that you can go and study it on your own. I'll give you passages in Scripture. The best commentary of the Bible is what, church? The Bible. So I'll give you cross-references that you can go and just run with that on, because you should know what's about to come. But I think that in so many of senses, that the shaking has begun. And only Jesus can do the shaking. I can't shake the church. I mean, the Lord can shake the church through me, but it's only him that can really shake the church. There's going to be a sifting, you know that, right? Because Jesus said in the last days that there's going to be a sifting between the chaff and the wheat. That there's going to be like a dividing of who's really sheep, of who's really followers of Jesus Christ. He said that the church is like a big tree where the fowls of the air, they come and they settle in, the branches, and people are evil-intended, people who are not sincere, make-believers, not real believers. They're going to be a part of it. And the Lord's going to cause a shaking. He's going to start shaking to and fro, and there's going to be this sifting. There's going to be this refining. He's a consuming fire. He's gracious, and he stoops, and he begs you to lend you his ear, lend you your ear and your eyes, but also don't get it twisted. This is the Almighty. This is the one who already told you. That is his grace. But here is the truth. He's already told you, just like there was a shaking and a fright with Moses on Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given, there's an even greater shaking that's coming. And the shaking has begun. And there's nothing that can't be shaken that's made. Everything on this earth is temporal besides what is of the kingdom, that which is eternal. And before we get to that which is eternal, this is multi-headed. This text is an animal. Now you see why Harper said, Daddy, delete this. This is intense. But I'm going to break it down for you as best as I can, being tried and true to the text. No agenda, just giving you God's word. Listen, the shaking has begun, but there's a shaking that's going to happen. Let me give you a few passages so that you can just know what they are, and you can go spend some time with them and let the Holy Spirit minister to you. I want to begin with giving you a passage of Scriptures in Psalm 102. Write it down at the very least, please. You don't just take what I say and say, oh, that's what Psalm 102 says. You go read it on your own. You go study and search the Scriptures on your own. You don't just believe what a pastor tells you, especially when it comes to eschatology. Let the Bible speak to you. Listen, there's a shaking that's coming. You're seeing it now. People are falling away. People, and it's easy to be shaken, and it's easy not to be hearing the word of God and seeing the will of God when you stop assembling with the brethren. There's no reason why people can't come back to church. It's dangerous to isolate yourself. God intended people to be in fellowship. It is an interdependent faith that God has called us to. So, Pastor, what's the easiest way for me not to hear God and see God? Stop coming to church. It's time to come back to church. It's that we're doing our best as we can to fill people in here and have backup plans if it's raining outside, and we're already looking into the fall months, and we're on it. I'm talking to people from California. I talked to Pastor Joe Foge in Philly on Monday. I'm talking to everybody. We got calls into the ACLJ. Like, we're not messing around. We're going for it. Okay, we're going for it. It's time to come back to church. It's time to hear the word of God and to see Jesus. I'm calling people out of their beds, out of their bathrobes. I'm calling you back home to church. It's time to gather with the flock that God has put you in. You won't make it out there. The devil will destroy you. You won't make it out there. You need to come back to church and hear the word of God. Do not forsake the assembly of the brethren, all the more as we see the day of the Lord approaching. If you don't see the day of the Lord approaching, your eyes are closed. There's a shaking that's coming. You can feel it. You can feel it. Our economy is being shaken. Our political system is being shaken. Our country is divided. It's being shaken. Our world is being shaken. Our currency is being shaken. Okay? Everything is being shaken. You can see it. The stage for redemption is not just being set, but is set. It is set. It's very obvious. I want the church, with the authority of God, to open their eyes this morning. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to unveil whatever scales have settled in, whatever calluses have sort of formed over your spiritual eyelids. I'm asking in the name of Jesus for the devil to be rebuked, and the spirit of lethargy, the spirit of apathy, to be rebuked and to be rid in the name of Jesus. It's time for people to open their eyes. The shaking has begun. How much more shaking has to happen in order for people to get serious, to arise? It's high time to awake. Our redemption draws nigh, the Bible says. Amen? There's a shaking that's coming. Now, this is ultimately speaking of futuristically, but it's already begun. It will go on throughout the tribulation, which is the 7 years that follows the rapture of the church. And then it's really going to happen after the millennial reign, when, as Jesus says it, heaven and earth will pass away literally. Nothing that is here will remain, says the Lord. I'm going to read this to you because I like to back everything I say as best I can with Scripture. Psalm 102, verse 25, of old God, you have laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They're going to perish. Pastor, if so-and-so wins this election, will everything get better? Excuse me. Maybe for a little bit. I don't know. But ultimately, what happens? They're going to perish. A third of your holy book, I'm going to say it till the Lord calls me home, is predictive in nature. There is no error in everything it's ever said that would happen that's already happened. There's no reason you should ever look at this and say, this is ridiculous. I won't accept it. You can look at it and say, I don't know how it's going to happen, just like Christians did back in the day before Israel was reunited as a nation. That's why so much of our church forefathers were anti-Semitic, because they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand what God was going to do with the nation of Israel. Guess what? It happened. God regathered his people from all corners of the earth, and he brought them back to their homeland that he has given to them, that he gave to Abraham. And he has made a nation out of them again. What other nation do you know of? Y'all with me? Just because something doesn't make sense or you can't calculate it doesn't mean that he's not going to do it. Of old you lay the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They're going to perish, but you shall endure Yea, all of them that shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed. But you are the same, and your years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. Okay, so let's just pull from the text. It's 10:01, so we have to speed up a little bit here. Okay, we got another group of people that are going to interrupt our party. I'm sorry about it. They're kind of rude in that way. They're going to come and they're going to expect you to gather seats. So let me do it like this. Let me start blending some verses. That which is going to be shaken is going to be shaken. And that which cannot be shaken will remain. Because there is a kingdom that he points our eyes to, whose builder and maker is God, that is eternal, that cannot be shaken. If you want to, you can subtitle my message, The Unmovable Kingdom. And there are things for you to hold on to that are not shakable while everything else is being shaken. Isn't that exciting? Because if it's overwhelming, isn't it? Maybe your pocketbook, your bank account, it's being shaken. Your job security, it's being shaken. Your relationships on this earth are being shaken. So you're thinking, Pastor, can you uplift my soul a little bit? Can you encourage me? For sure. Here it is. There are things that are not going to be shaken, and here are some of them. Your relationships with believers in Christ, they're eternal. So that's amazing. So that if your children are believers, if your spouse is a believer, if your parents are believers, you're going to have relationships that go beyond this earth into eternity. They can't be shaken. That's it? Just one hallelujah out of hundreds of people. All the rest of you don't like that too much, maybe. Because I'm pulling from the verses. The children of thy servants shall continue. You servant of Jesus? This is for you. You're going to continue. Your eternity, you're an eternal soul, which, by the way, even if you're not a believer in Jesus, you're an eternal soul also. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's why you need Jesus so badly, more than you can even imagine. Because that's your only security. That's your only saving grace. But if you're in Christ this morning, you in your relationships with other believers in Christ as the servants of God, as the children of God, and your seed that are in Christ shall not be shaken because you're a part of his eternal kingdom. It's a beautiful promise to us. I'm going to give you a few other passages. I think it's important. I wasn't intending to do this, so I feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to give it to you. I wonder what we'll do in second, but this is for you guys at first. Matthew 24, old and new. They don't contradict each other, not two different, like, books that don't really line up. They go perfectly. The old is the new concealed, and the new is the old revealed. Jesus said, the whole thing's speaking about me. Just in case anybody's like, can you give it to me a little simpler? Yes. Everything's Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. Every page speaks. The whole volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Matthew chapter 24, Jesus speaking, verse 35. Heaven and earth, they're going to pass away. All of our homes, all of our backyards, all of our front yards, everything that we know, that we see, that's been made, it's going to pass away. Maybe that will freeze some of you up. It's going to pass away. Maybe that will give you a headache. I just built the deck. It's going to burn. Everything's going to pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. That's another thing you guys got this morning. You got eternal relationships. You got the eternal word of God. You got the eternal word of God is never going to pass away. You're going to get to glory, and there's not going to be, oh, this was full of some errors. You believe that? Geez, I'm sorry. No, it's not. In fact, what's going to be is, okay, you guys saw through the mirror dimly. Now let me really take you through what the scriptures were saying. There's going to be the fullness of understanding. It's going to take us all of eternity to learn and to explore of his mercy and his grace. He's going to teach us. Our eyes are going to be open. We're going to see him. We're going to see his word, and we're going to understand his word in a way that we can't right now on this side. So a couple things. I mean, I can't give you everything. Now it's 10:06. Couple things that you guys are going to leave here today with. They can't be shaken. God's stooping down. He wants to speak to you. He wants to encourage you. Everything's shaken. This world is rattling. It's so overwhelming. I don't even want to talk about what's being shaken much more. I just want to talk about the things which cannot be shaken that will remain. I'm so thankful that my earthly relationships that are based on Christ are going to transcend this side of eternity. They're going right into glory. I'm going to be right with people who I love. Can you imagine the reunions? I got a papa there. I got two grandmas there. I got a sister-in-law that's there. I got Pastor Jim, for those of you who've been around. He was like a second father to me. Last week was his 68th birthday on Sunday. He's been passed for 13 years. Do you know how excited I am to jump in his arms? I got family and I got friends, and the older I live, the more that's there. There's going to be a reunion. Never going to pass away. Can't be shaken. We're going to get shaken on this side of eternity, but in glory, man, they're going to be there. Reunions are going to be there. Family are going to be there. Friends are going to be there. Can't be shaken. Can't be shaken. Your health down here could be shaken. The worst thing that happens to you, you die from whatever you get sick with, and you go right to glory. And it can't be shaken. You're an eternal being. You're going to go right into glory, be in the presence of Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Close your eyes here, open your eyes to the face of Jesus. Not an angel. Jesus. Family, friends, reunion, can't be shaken. The word of God can't be shaken. Man, I got so much I want to impart to you. Let me give it to you here. 2 Peter chapter 2. Actually, let's go right to chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. It's hard to flip. I cheated. I put tabs in my Bible, so you don't got to do it. Just write them down or at least listen. This is good stuff. I hear some pages, though, and I really, really like that noise. So I'm going to hang tight for a second, let you come. I'm looking something up. Y'all like learning the Bible? Right? You don't want to just hear me tell you my ideas and preach sermonettes. We want to have people who understand God's word, give reason for why they believe what they believe. It will give you, by the way, if you understand scripture, it will give you confidence in witnessing. So if you're talking, you're at a cookout today, or you're with your kids' soccer team, wherever you are, and something gets brought, oh, you went to church today. Oh, yeah, I don't really go. It's boring. Not at my church. No, just hopefully that's what you say. I got a really cool pastor, you know. It's not like that there. You should come. Well, why would I want to come there? I mean, Sunday mornings is when I do this. Well, because we actually learn there. What do you learn? Then you can just start telling what you learn. And there's this confidence, and it's an organic type of witnessing that happens. My kids ask me all the time, Dad, are you nervous to preach? Not when I'm prepared. If you're prepared, there's something to be said. There's a confidence. If you guys, as believers in Christ, come to church with a mind to learn and a heart to receive, not just for information, but for transformation, and then also information too, because that's important. So that when you're out there, it's already in there. So it's like you made your deposits, your spiritual deposits, and then when you need to make a withdrawal, the Holy Spirit it starts coming out of your mouth. You don't premeditate, it just starts coming out of your mouth. And you're able to start giving reason for why you believe what you believe. For instance, oh yeah, neighbor Dave, I can't believe what's going on here in this country. This is crazy. Everyone's divided. I wonder if things will ever get better. Funny you say that. Actually, everything's going to burn. And then they're going to look at you like, you know, it gets weird for a minute or two. But then you can give scripture and you can give understanding. And listen, even if they don't believe what you believe, they'll appreciate that you believe what you believe. Can you guys come back to second today? I'm going to need you at second. Listen, 2 Peter chapter 3, but the day of the Lord, I'm in verse 10, will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And so there is a big bang. No, there is. It just didn't happen yet. There's going to be this passing away with a great noise. Now listen how detailed Peter gives it to us. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. That's a really bothersome word if your stock's in this life. Everything's getting dissolved. Everything's getting dissolved. Watch, he goes like this. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire, here it is again, shall be dissolved. and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So the first judgment was with flood, and the last judgment's going to be with fire, and there's going to be this dissolving of everything that is around us that is temporal, that has been made. There's going to be this dissolving. Literally, the word means to be loosened or dismissed. It makes total sense, because if you write in your Bible right now, Colossians chapter 1, it tells us that Jesus not only spoke all things into existence, but by him all things exist and consist. He's holding every molecule together right now, every fiber together now. He's tolerating the wickedness, the taunting of our nation. You can't say anything of what's right or what's wrong anymore. You can't do it. I mean, it is so nerve-wracking to take a stand on anything. Because even the craziest things, like not liking a child as an adult, is now all of a sudden, it's part of a sexuality orientation. You can do that. We're in the process of legalizing it. I hope y'all wake up and understand what's going on in our nation. These aren't conspiracies. This is the reality of the depravity of our nation that is 244 years old. We're wicked as a nation. Jesus Christ is holding on to the whole world, America too, and he's tolerating. By him, all things exist and consist till they don't. Till they don't. Till they don't. When at the end of it all, at the end of the age, he lets it go. And there's this dissolving, as Peter says. There's this loosening. There's this bursting. There's this bang. There's this complete being done away with, everything that can be shaken. Real quick, last verse, because we got to be done. Revelation chapter 21. And I, verse 1, John the Revelator, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then what does he do? We did it last Sunday. I'll just say it real quick to you here. We're standing with him, I guess, in nothingness. I don't know how to explain it. If I knew how to explain it all and understood it all, I'd be equal to him, and I'm not. But we're going to be with him in the background when he lets go of all that consists and exists by the might of his hand, and we're going to watch him re-speak creation into existence. We get to do the whole Genesis 1 with him all over again. When he speaks the new Jerusalem into existence and the city of God comes down and descends and is our forever habitation. I keep hearing everybody, all the young people, oh, my forever home. This is my starter home. This is my in-betweeny home. And this is my forever home. Y'all, your forever home is in glory. Your forever home is being prepared by Jesus Christ, the carpenter, the handyman. That's your forever home. So because of that, give your ear to him. Worship team, would you come? Give your ear to him, not just this morning. When you leave, keep giving your ear to him. Give your eyes to him, okay? Turn off Fox. Turn off CNN, please. Turn off the local networks. They're bad. Turn it off. Even sometimes turn off Bible teachers. Turn it all off and get with him. Let him speak to you. Give him your eyes. Give him your attention. Don't be doing other things while you're asking him to speak to you. That is the rudest thing. We don't like it, all the more he don't like it. Give him your attention. Give him your focus. Don't walk away and say he didn't speak to me and you were on Instagram the whole time. Put everything away. Shut it aside, man. Put it all away. Take your Bible. I highly recommend your Bible and a cup of hot coffee. First thing in the morning, we get too distracted. First thing in the morning, I'm a little bit staunch on that. I know people say whenever you do it is great as long as you do it. Fine, but first thing in the morning. Those who seek me early will find me. Sit with him, open your eyes, your Bible, read it, let him speak to you. Please, he says, don't dismiss me. I want to tell you something. Everything else that you're so concerned with that's temporal, it's going to be shaken. It's already shaken, so don't put your eggs all in that basket. It's going to be shaken. There's only one thing that can't be shaken, and then that thing has little branches off of it. But there's only one thing, and that is my unmovable kingdom. That's the one thing that can't be shaken. Your salvation, your eternity, your relationships, the reunions that you're going to have, the word of God, your inheritance, it's incorruptible, undefiled, never fades away. Rust, moth, can't steal, can't destroy. Stock it up in glory. There's that can't be shaken. So in the process, let him be what he is. He already is. Let him be an all-consuming fire. Let him burn away the dross. Let him free you so that you can run faster for his glory. Let him set you free of the weight and the hindrance that so easily besets you. And run your race. Let the consuming fire burn away so that you can run your ways. Run your race. Keep your eyes fixed on the prize. There's things that can't be shaken. Y'all, there's things that can't be shaken. We're shaken, I get it, but there's things that can't be shaken. Keep your eyes fixed on him. God bless your people. Please bless him and keep him and make your face shine upon him. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, wherever they are, amen.